Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark scores with you. Well, amidst the tragedy of the Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion was a concerning development that the attacker, or I guess I should say the guy who blew up the truck in an apparent suicide, used ChatGPT to help him plan the blast. And to give us more information about how ChatGPT was used in this incident is Tom Winter. He's an NBC News national law enforcement and intelligence correspondent. He also reported on this story. Tom, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, Amy and Chris, thanks for having me. Appreciate being on, and a little disappointed that you all in St. Louis have gotten more snow than we have in New York City this year. I'm not quite sure how that's worked out, but good luck with that.
We're good for once every 9 years. So,
and I don't want to brag, but we might get 4 or 5 or 6 inches.
Yeah,
of
we're
snow
getting more
tomorrow.
Tonight.
Yeah,
killing
yeah,
us. I know, killing the kids too.
Well, yeah, they got a lot of days off after the Christmas break. Tom, I read your story on NBC News, and I was kind of blown away that ChatGPT was used in this incident. They believe the soldiers who blew up the Cybertruck also apparently shot himself in the head first before the explosion, that ChatGPT was used to plan this entire thing. What do we know about the extent to which this guy used ChatGPT?
So clearly looking at, and I'm going to look at all of the evidence that police have put forward, the sheriff's office, ATF, and FBI, when you look at all of it, it's clear he had a deep personal crisis happen at some point, and at some point recently. So really, all this started to come together in the days before New Year's, and of course, he dies by suicide and blows up his car on New Year's Day, as we all well know, in the morning hours at the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. But looking at all of it, one of the things that it appeared he needed help with is figuring out how to put together this explosive or an explosive type in his vehicle. Now, he's somebody who's got a lot of experience in the Army, clearly would know how to build a serious bomb if he wanted to. This appears to have just wanted to create a lot of attention, a lot of fire, really create a scene. It did injure 7 other people, as you both know, but I think this was not something at all that was designed to create actual damage to the hotel, let alone conduct an attack along the lines of what we saw in Oklahoma City with the Murrah federal building being bombed or something like that. So to get to the AI part, he's using AI here to ask some pretty specific questions as to what he can buy and where he can buy it. What are some of the laws and restrictions? He asks how he can get a cell phone that's not traced back to him to avoid detection. And he also asks, there's a particular explosive compound that exists. It's used often in target shooting, but it needs to be hit with a bullet at a certain speed. And so what he wanted to know is, what is the type of bullet and gun that I need to use to be able to potentially fire at this explosive compound at the right speed to get it to go off instead of just burn? So those are all the types of questions that he's asking AI. And of course, he could have just asked, he used ChatGPT, but there's a whole host of other programs out there in generative AI that presumably would do something similar.
Yeah, so what is the added danger here of the existence of something like ChatGPT? You mentioned some of the other programs as well, because if people, and we hear this all the time, if they want to pull something off, they're going to figure out how to do it. But the last thing we want is to make that job easier. So how much added danger is there because of artificial intelligence or some of these programs?
Yeah, it's the exact question, and it's a question that several people have asked of me, because we all know that there's terrorist propaganda, and of course, as we saw in the New Orleans attack and the bombs that were used there, some of the design for that is straight out of some of ISIS's propaganda and Al-Qaeda's propaganda. To your point, Chris, it's out there. People know about it. If you really want to find it, you stand a reasonable chance to come across some of it. But the difference is, if I'm looking at all those issues of Inspire magazine that ISIS has, for instance, or I'm looking up some of the old pieces of literature like the Anarchist Cookbook and some of the other things that are out there, you can look at all those things. But if I have a question, I can't ask the book a question. I can't say to the book, hey, tell me more about this, or I don't quite understand this part. Whereas if you're interacting with a machine that has the ability to suck in all of this public information and be able to query it and spit it back to you near real time, well, that's a potential game changer, and that's what really has law enforcement concern.
Yeah, well, first, I did not realize that ISIS had an English language magazine. That's insane to continue to promote terrorism. I didn't know that. And secondly, it's the ease with which someone can access information about an attack or how to do, blow something up, create a bomb, be untraceable. And the fact, like you said, that it's interactive. That's unlike the access that they have, the ease of access, and an interactive access is something we've never had before.
Well, that's exactly correct. So, when this came up about a year ago, this started really being talked about in law enforcement circles. So to be clear, if you jump on ChatGPT right now and say, I want to make a bomb, or I want to make a bomb using this explosive, it's going to say, hey, I'm not going to help you with that. That's illegal. You shouldn't be doing it. And many of the other chat services say the exact same thing. So they're not going to let you do that. But the concern was, as law enforcement and intelligence analysts started digging into it, is that if you knew what you were asking, or you were, say, three quarters down the road to doing something, you might be able to ask it questions that it would not pick up on as, oh, hey, that's a problem. Somebody's trying to ask me how to build a bomb. There are also other ways to defeat some of AI safeguards. The AI companies are constantly fighting this, so it's a continual whack-a-mole for them as far as people trying to get to teach AI to get around its own safeguards. That's an interesting part of this. So we did a story back in October on Hallie Jackson Now, which is on our streaming NBC News Now that airs every day at 5 o'clock. And Deputy Commissioner for the NYPD of Intelligence and Counterterrorism, Rebecca Weiner, she and I spoke about this. We did an interview, and we kind of pointed out all the ways that it's a challenge. I'll give you a for instance. You can use AI. You mentioned ISIS, Amy. Mm-hmm. ISIS is using AI to make up propaganda. In the videos that you see is a kind of a, I don't want to say an animated character, but it looks like a real person who's speaking and putting out propaganda. They're incorporating video from prior attacks. They're using graphics. It's incredibly well made. You would think that some national news editor put it all together, but it's entirely AI. And because it's AI, they can't trace back voices or faces and try to determine who is behind this propaganda. It really handcuffs law enforcement. So again, just kind of highlighting some of the other potential challenges that we're seeing already right now.
Do these AI companies have any confidence that they would be able to eliminate these workarounds? It always seems like there's a workaround, no matter what it is. People can figure out things that they want to do. So do they have confidence they can actually do something about that? And then furthermore, does law enforcement have confidence in them to do that?
Yeah, so Chris, two critical questions there. And I think from an AI company's perspective, you're dealing with a machine that is, you guys go out for a cheeseburger tonight, you go out with your family, you sleep and you're sleeping at 2 a.m. AI is always learning. It's always working. It's always advancing. But so are people with their way of interacting with it. So I think to come up with some sort of a permanent ban on all the various components, many of which are household items, by the way, like the explosive that we saw in New Orleans, some of the things that you would use for that are freely available to build online. And you'll appreciate that I'm not going to go much further than that. But you get into a situation where, you know, even the idea of AI not going further on a specific topic could even be instructful. So I think, and this pivots to your question about law enforcement, I think what law enforcement is looking for here is, can we get everybody at the table, and we can we say, can we provide a list of topics or a list of specific precursor chemicals, whether it's for explosives, whether it's for attacks, whether it's for drugs, narcotics, can we all come together and say, if somebody is pervasively going down a certain path and querying these topics, could you give us a heads up? And we have some of those protections in this country when it comes to certain types of fertilizers that you might purchase with respect to bomb making. But I think they would like to see this go a bit further. Juxtaposed to the First Amendment, there's nothing wrong with me asking a question. So I think that's going to be a little bit where the rubber meets the road.
I was going to say, like, would the algorithm that's used to recognize suspicious activity know the difference between a malicious character, a college student doing research into just how bad, how easy it is to get this information from ChatGPT, or a reporter who's trying to do the same thing, right? Wouldn't they have kind of some of the same appearance from the search bar?
100%. I mean, I've found a lot of information over the years about explosive precursors from websites that end in .gov. So, yeah, I mean, we're, as we rely more and more upon AI for searching, we're prohibited here from using it for writing our stories, I think, for a lot of really good reasons, but we certainly use it in searching. As people do this more and more, you're right. What's to distinguish me, reporter, trying to get information, you all trying to research for your show, and somebody who's looking to do something in St. Louis? And I think that's why I think law enforcement would like to be in a position where they know and can kind of meter that out. But then, of course, it's going to require additional investigative steps. And what are the resources for trying to determine, you know, I just gave you three or four people. How do you determine whether Tom and Amy are okay researching this stuff and person X is a problem, and the resources that go into that? I think you all can start to feel the headaches that, that this issue is potentially bringing to the forefront.
Tom Winter, NBC correspondent covering crime and terrorism. You can read his reporting on this story, NBCNews.com, as well as the story about the New Orleans attacker who was trying to use some explosives to make the whole thing even worse than it already was. So you can read that story as well, NBCNews.com. Tom Winter, great to talk to you. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you both.
That is Tom Winter from NBC News. I think it is we talk about the dangers of artificial intelligence all the time, and there's a lot of good that's going to come from it and already is, but then there's stuff like this.
Yeah.
Which is unnerving, and I'll say the same thing we always say. I hope these companies can set up some real guardrails that actually do the job. But I don't have faith in it.
I don't have faith in those guys at all.
Anyway. I got faith in you, though.
Why? Thank you. And we're going to be like Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter. Whichever one of us dies first, we're going to speak at the funeral.
I think we're going to speak at each other's funeral.
I like to think we will.
Chris and Amy on KMOX.
As always, we want to hear from you, especially when it comes to Chris Ranji's love life.
Okay.
314-436-7900. A detail that we missed.
There's no detail missed.
Listen, if you guys missed the show yesterday, first of all, what are you doing? Second of all, you can listen to it on the Chris and Amy Show podcast, wherever you get your podcast. You should podcast us. It's a lot of fun. Odyssey app, you can listen to Rewind Live Radio and so forth. But here's the deal. Ranj met a lady. They went out a couple times. She stood him up, went to the bar with a different guy instead of with him.
On New Year's Eve?
On New Year's Eve, and then
How
said,
"How dare she?
Hey, I'm sorry. I really think it'd be great for my sister." And Ranj is considering it. And so this sister
Nothing's off the table.
This sister followed Ranji on Instagram, and the detail he left out.
Left out.
Left out. Thank you. Yesterday, is that Hot dog, he followed her back on Instagram.
Well, of course I followed
That's
her back.
That's a huge detail.
No, it's not.
That's a lie by omission right there.
No, it's not.
So we want to hear from you because, again, if you missed the whole story, what are you doing?
And if you're watching us on YouTube, which you can, you know, Amy offered the Odyssey app. That's
sure.
always available.
It's great.
But follow the station KMOX on YouTube. And we have a mm-hmm. message from YouTube. It says, stay away from that family.
All caps.
In all caps.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Hey, look. I know lots of families mm-hmm. where maybe one person in the family mm-hmm. is just out of their minds, but the other one is really level and measured and good. So why can't this be the same thing?
Well, it could. It could. Or she could be a psychopath.
It doesn't hurt to try.
They hung out quite a bit. They hung out
in a very short
period
of time.
Yes, and then Ronge was like, maybe I'll go to Chicago. Do you want me to go to Chicago for New Year's? I have some friends up there. And she's like, sure, why don't you go? And anyway, he went up there thinking he was going to spend New Year's Eve with her, and she flaked out and said, this breakup is too hard, because Ronge is the rebound. So this breakup is too hard. It's too difficult. I can't go out. I can't see anyone on New Year's Eve. She knew Ronge's plans because, you know,
knew the bar I was going to.
So Ronge goes to the bar, and who shows up at like 9 o'clock but this girl that dumped him, and she's with another man, gives him a hug, apologizes, and that's when she tries to fix him up with her sister.
Mm-hmm. So
creepy.
Creepy's not the right word.
If the genders were reversed, it would look like grooming. Like a guy goes out with a girl and is like, actually, I think you might be great for my brother. Why don't you give him a call?
No, I don't know if it's the same thing. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, but I think there's no harm in this. I might as well reach out and say, hey, what's up?
Okay, on our StreamYard, mm-hmm. The guy who said to stay away from that family, he wants to know how many shots of Malort did you have during this whole thing?
That's irrelevant.
It might not be irrelevant.
It has nothing to do with what happened with her. Everybody enjoys Malort.
And you guys, don't you think the fact that, okay, so the sister follows Ronge on Instagram and everyone's like, oh my gosh, she's open to this. He followed her back. That 100% is sending the message, mm-hmm. I might be into you.
Yeah. I'm in. Well, okay. Why would you... I'll try anything once. That's not true. How bad could it be?
It'd be bad.
I don't have to get into anything, and I do not mind being a rebound.
This is coming from a guy who had a stalker in his bed.
Hold on. that was...
The stalker
was a long time ago.
Broke into his apartment. And climbed into his bed, and we got
home. I was gone.
Work.
I was not there.
He got home from work, and there was a lady.
No, she wasn't there. She had been removed by the authorities by the time I got home.
Who are you?
I don't know.
What is wrong
with
you?
She seemed like a nice lady.
Did you tell the girl, the sister that dumped you, said, hey, I have ladies breaking into my apartment?
No. Did I tell her that story? I don't think so. I don't think I did. I told her a lot of things.
Apparently too much.
I guess. She told me a lot of things.
You scared her off by New Year's.
You know what she told me? I'm not going to tell you what she told me, but she told me a lot about herself.
So are you going to slide into the DMs?
You know, I'm thinking about it.
What's your opening
line? I'm thinking
line?
About it.
Hey.
Hey. So I know your sister. Hey. No, it's not like that.
I think I know your sister.
I think I will at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon one day go, are you up? Just to see what
you up. You up?
Yeah. Man, I'm so happy about all of this.
This is wonderful.
I am so happy about every bit
Maybe
of what's happened
Bernie
to me
Nicholas
lately.
What you should do.
Yeah?
I mean, listen, the Cardinals, no big changes, no big moves. The season's not here. The Chiefs have a bye. I think we should ask Bernie Miklas about the ladies.
Yeah, well, maybe he knows something I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got some thoughts.
Insight, yeah.
But we will talk to Bernie Miklas. We will get his thoughts on the Cardinals, on the Blues, on the Billikens, who had a big win last night. And then maybe if we have time, we'll talk about me. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Getting into Robbie, and that's the ball game. Wow. Listen to this crowd. A good one here. A remarkable comeback by the Bonnies. Couldn't quite close the deal. 73-68.
That was last night here on KMOX, the St. Louis University Billikens with a win over St. Bonaventure. And the Bernie Miklas Report is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. We bring in Bernie Miklas, who's with us every Tuesday and Thursday after the 11:30 news. Bernie, good to talk to you. And that's a good win for the Bills last night.
You know, this has been pretty wonderful to watch because they struggled in the preseason. A lot of it had to do with injuries, but they still struggled. And it wasn't impressive. Not that anybody was giving up on them. Not that anyone said, hey, why'd they hire this coach? I don't think any rational person had those thoughts. But it created a little uncertainty about how good they would be once they got into conference play. And they've come out of the gate roaring 3-0, and all three very impressive wins. And St. Bonaventure is considered maybe the best team in the A-10, if not the best, certainly in the top two or three. So conference play could not have gone better so far for St. Louis U, and it's an entertaining style of basketball, entertaining players. They don't have a deep bench, but those guys work their tails off, and they have great endurance, and I think Josh Schertz is just an excellent coach. So I'm happy for SLU. I'm happy that they got off to this kind of start.
So I know it's a little early to project this, but you know they're healthier now. They've got Robbie Avila back, which was a big loss for them near the beginning of the season, and they're off to a good start in A-10 play. Is this a tournament team?
I think they can be, but it is way too early to kind of look into that. And let me just tell you, if you don't mind, I'm going to be a metrics nerd just for a second. I will say this. They're positioned, as we sit here today, they're positioned to be a tournament team because I'm looking at KenPom.com, and I'm looking specifically at the Atlantic 10 Conference. And KenPom, who is quite an authority on evaluating teams, he has St. Louis U as the number one team in the A-10 conference right now. Now, overall, you know, they still have some work to do. They're still way down on the list in terms of the entire, you know, Division I. But all they can do is put themselves in a position, and they're going to have to win enough games in the A-10, a lot of games, to offset their disappointing performance in the preseason. Because there were, frankly, a couple of really clunker losses there that would hurt them if they're a bubble team in a couple months, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's no question about that. So it's probably going to be a thing where they have to win that tournament, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if they go into the tournament with, you know, it's the top team in the league or second or third, but with an excellent conference record, I think they'll be alive. It's just a question, again, how will the bad losses be held against them? We don't know that. And plus, we also don't know the way it comes down is like there are going to be, for example, let's just assume they don't win the tournament. They're a good team, but they don't win the tournament. Well, there are always, every year, so many bubble teams, so many. And that would be in a similar situation as SLU. And then there it comes down to what the selection committee does. They make some curious, puzzling decisions every year. So, it would not. They can control their own fate, obviously. But if they don't control their own fate, then they're going to have to win a lot of games in conference and hope that the selection committee views them favorably.
Meanwhile, Illinois is off to a really good start. They're very likely a tournament team, arguably the best team in their conference. But Mizzou is one of those that in the AP is receiving votes, at least right now. What do you project their season will end up being, and if whether or not that is a tournament team?
I think, first of all, Illinois, I'm going to defer to my friend Iman Brennan, who is a longtime writer for ESPN and then The Athletic and has his own Substack blog now, which I subscribe to. he wrote a piece about the Illini, and I really do value his judgment. He said, oh, they're the best team in the Big Ten, and they look like it. I mean, they're number 7 in the KenPom ranking, so that tells you a lot. Mizzou is a really good team, and they're clearly improved from last season. Well, it would be kind of hard not to be improved, but really, they're clearly much better. The problem is the SEC is just stacked. It's just loaded. I mean, it's almost ridiculous how many great teams there are in the SEC. And I, you know, if I look at KenPom, since I have it up, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's got them as the 10th best team in the SEC. But Joe Lunardi and some other people think that they think that the SEC could put as many as 12 teams into the NCAA tournament. So my point is, Mizzou's kicking. They're trying to create a chance, but they got to keep winning. They really have to keep winning. I mean, they can't be inconsistent, and they got to carve out some wins in conference play, because this is the best college basketball conference in America right now.
Hey, Bernie, the St. Louis Blues take on the Anaheim Ducks today at Enterprise Center. And, you know, they are moving in the right direction since Coach Jim Montgomery took the helm. Had a couple of tough losses. So they don't have a lot of room for error right now if they want to make the playoffs.
Well, and, you know, this is a pretty well-known storyline. But the one disappointment with Montgomery and the Blues so far, it isn't like I blame it on the coach. Their schedule has been just so overloaded with road games. And when you're traveling all the time, it really does make it difficult for teams to find practice times. And one way that Jim Montgomery works his magic is when he has a chance to have practices with his guys, regular practices where he can get into his teaching points and make corrections and offer messages and everything else. So if you look at them, they've been great on the road, and that's outstanding, but they're only 3-3-1 for 7 points since Monty became the head coach, and that points percentage ranks 23rd. So they have to start making stuff happen at home. They've got 4 in a row at home, 7 of the next 9 at home, and 13 of the next 17 at home. This gives them a chance to strengthen their play at home ice. It gives Montgomery a chance to have more and more practices, which are vital. And it gives the Blues a chance to generate some momentum that will kind of propel them for the rest of the season. But they have got to do really, really well over these next 17 games.
It's not inconceivable that they make up a lot of ground and find themselves with a playoff berth that isn't a wild card one. But if they do make it as a wild card, how much better do they need to be to actually do anything in the postseason?
Well, I think for the most part, the NHL playoffs are wildly unpredictable. And we've sat here in St. Louis watching Blues teams that we thought were going to be, well, watch out, deep run, maybe Stanley Cup. I'm thinking of that President's Trophy winning Blues team under Joel Quenneville, for example. And then you have some Blues teams, including the 2019 team. I really didn't like their chances of making a deep playoff run. I thought the early rounds were going to be really hazardous, which they were. But the Blues were able to get by a lot of it because Jordan Bennington was just ridiculously great. So I never know what to expect because we've seen so many shocking upsets. And I also don't know what to expect because we don't know what the roster will look like then. If the Blues make the playoffs, will that roster be augmented by a trade or two made by Doug Armstrong? Will that roster perhaps include Dvorsky, their top prospect, who has just been incredibly impressive, not only in the AHL, but in the World Junior Championships? Is there going to be space for him? Can he help them? Are they going to stay healthy? It's just so hard, Ronj, for me to look ahead, because it's sort of like talking about, well, can the Cardinals do this or do that? Well, we don't know what their roster will be in 2025 yet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if they get in the playoffs, though, if Bennington's playing the way he has, and if Doug Armstrong strengthens that roster, they can do some damage. I do believe that. They can do some damage.
Hey, Bernie, tonight is the Orange Bowl with Penn State and Notre Dame. Tomorrow will be Texas and Ohio State. What are you looking forward to in these two games, and what do you see the championship game looking like?
I'm going to jump ahead to the second one first because I believe strongly in Ohio State, and I think they're going to demolish Texas. I think Texas is really overrated, and Ohio State has reinvented itself on the fly in ways that are just remarkably impressive. Nobody can cover their wide receivers. They can run the ball. They have a good offensive line. Their defense is number one in the nation. And what happened after they lost to Michigan is that Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator, who's pretty brilliant, but he called a terrible game that day. They were ultra-conservative. And I think Ryan Day and Chip Kelly got together and said, look, if we're going to turn this around and everyone's counting us out, we have to open up this offense and take advantage of those playmakers outside on the perimeter. And that's exactly what they've done. They're the best team right now that's left in this tournament. And I think Texas is a lot more vulnerable than people realize. My goodness, the fact they let Arizona State come back the way they did in that game, they gave their defense, which is so highly touted, the Longhorns gave up 510 yards to Arizona State. Well, what can Ohio State do to them? So if I were a betting man, I would take Ohio State and I would lay the 5.5 or 6 points. I got to be honest with you, Amy and Raj. I am going back and forth on this game tonight. I really am. I can't make a decision. But if you ask me to, I'm leaning to Notre Dame because I think Notre Dame's got the better all-around defense. I worry, though, because their passing game is limited. I think that their running back from St. Louis, who's very, very good, I don't know how healthy he's going to be, even though he's going to play. And I think Penn State offensively probably has more ways to beat you. But I tell you what, I just love that Notre Dame defense. Just love the way they play. So I reserve the right to change my mind because I'm going to be doing a video on this later. But I'm still doing some research. But if you ask me right now, I'd say Notre Dame.
You can't change your mind after the game. You have to your last mind change has to be before it starts.
Oh, I agree. I'm going to be doing a video early this afternoon about that. So
I will say this. I grew up liking Notre Dame. I just arbitrarily picked them when I was a kid. I had no real attachment to the university. I've sort of backed off that a bit. I don't care as much. But Marcus Freeman, their coach, he's very likable, and I think he's made that team a lot of fun to watch.
He is very likable, and maybe I'm a little biased because I think the world of him, and he's so fresh, and he's such a good person, and he's really a good coach. There were some growing pains, but he got into that job awfully young. That was to be expected. But maybe my bias, in a way, comes in this way because I don't know who actually does like James Franklin, the Penn State coach, which is probably unfair. But he comes across in an entirely different way than Marcus Freeman. I watched that press conference late last night, and I could see Marcus Freeman was kind of irritated by James Franklin when they were on the podium together. So, I think that's a great storyline because there's been a lot of good pieces written about this, about, hey, has Marcus Freeman by himself made the Notre Dame Fighting Irish a lot more likable than they've been in a long time?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I think you could say yes, right?
Yeah, I like him. Not because the Bears drafted him, but because I like him. I just like him.
Yep. Yep.
They got rid of him very quickly, though. Hey, Bernie, tell us about our friends at Saliga, and we will talk to you on Tuesday.
And what about Pete Carroll to the Bears, huh?
Interesting. I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, I don't. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to extend the segment. Well, but I had to sneak that one in.
They're hiring or they're interviewing 50 different people. So who knows what they're going to do?
Absolutely. As far as Saliga Heating and Cooling, I would say, unfortunately, I think the Bears will screw it up because of their general manager. But I hope I'm wrong for your sake, Ronch.
I was a couple of minutes away from the station today driving in, and I heard a promo for Dwight Yoakam and the Mavericks coming to Enterprise Center.
Wait, who's that?
Okay, so I swear to God, this is how dumb I am. I heard Dwight Yoakam and the Mavericks, and I was like, oh, first of all, why are the Mavericks coming here? And second, do they have a new European player? I was like, Dwight Yoakam and them. Does. Oh, Dwight Yoakam, the country guy.
It sounds NBA. The Dallas Mavericks.
I thought he was playing alongside Luka Doncic.
Why does Dwight Yoakam sound like an NBA player? It does.
It does now.
Yeah. Dwight Yoakam, the star center.
Dude. You ever have like a really... Yes, you do.
Yeah,
just a really stupid, fleeting thought.
I can
give
you an example, which is 100% just like what you just did. This was years ago. There were pictures of Rome on CNN, and it says the Cardinals converge on Rome. And I thought, why is the baseball team in Italy? I thought, Dude. Like, Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina were all converging on Rome. I mean, it was longer than it should have been. It was a few seconds, but it was a long few seconds where I could not comprehend. Well, first of all, it made sense to me that CNN would, of course, be covering the St. Louis Cardinals. But I'm like, why are the Cardinals in Rome, and why is CNN covering it? And then I realized they were picking a new pope. It wasn't the baseball team.
See,
But it made sense. I was like, why is Adam Wainwright?
From St. Louis,
yeah.
But still, you're the kind of nerdy person that would think your mind would go to the Catholic Cardinals
first. But
I'm not
Catholic, though.
But you know about religion. You know a lot about it.
I do. I'm very faith-based, right? I mean, faith-based. It sounds like I'm an organization or a curriculum. I'm not a curriculum. I'm a Christian. But I think because I'm not Catholic, I don't associate like cardinals. Like, that's not part of my faith. So instead of thinking of cardinals and faith, I was thinking cardinals and baseball. And like I said, just like you were thinking with Dwight Yoakam and the Mavericks, like, oh, wow, they're coming here. Who are they playing? Is Yoakam a center?
Dude, it was such a dumb thought.
Yeah, that's how I was with the Cardinals converging on Rome. I literally thought it was a team building thing.
I know Matt Pajeski has something like this. You have no fleeting, stupid thoughts that you were like, why did I think that for even a second?
I know I have. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
I know my sister had one. We were in Arizona, and she knew it when she said it. She was wrong, but she was like, turn left on Onion Boulevard.
On Onion?
Onion Boulevard. And she's like, something's not right. She's like, yeah, you turn left on Onion. I'm like, really? And we're driving, and I said, you mean Union?
Oh, my God.
And she's read Union, and she's like, oh, my gosh. I don't know why I was thinking, how do you pronounce this word? Oh, this is Onion Boulevard.
Hey, if you've got one like
the
that,
United
share it
States.
With us. Would love to hear your dumb, fleeting thought that you had that you are still embarrassed about. You can leave it for us on our Odyssey app where you're listening to the show. Drop us a voice message there, record it, and send it. Or just send us a text message if you like, 314-436-7900. We need also for you to remember that number because we are still taking submissions for our final No Prize Pick'em Challenge, which happens tomorrow at 12:30. So we've had a few submissions already. People are interested. We haven't picked one yet. So if you want to try and get in tomorrow at 12:30, we will do our No Prize Pick'em, and you will be competing against Amy, me, Anthony Becht, who is the head coach of the St. Louis Battlehawks. So you'll be trying to beat all of us as the NFL divisional round will start on Saturday. So we're gonna do our final No Prize Pick'em of the year tomorrow, 12:30. If you're available, let us know if you want to participate. Send us a message on the text line at 314-436-7900. Just leave us your first name and say, hey, I want to play tomorrow, and you might get selected.
Exciting. Gabe Gore won last week.
He did. Did he get just one wrong?
Yeah, he got everything right but one. St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore crushing it in the No Prize Football Pick'em.
He's very smart.
He got wrong? The Bears, baby.
The Bears.
Well, I heard you picked in my stead, Matt.
I did.
And you picked the Bears for me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well,
you picked in your what?
You picked them for me. I know this. I will not be picking them this weekend. That is for sure. And maybe never again in the division round.
Oh, that's so sad.
or the wild card round and then the division round. Wild card round is this weekend. Looking forward to it. It is the Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji show. That's what we call it. Matt Pajeski is with us as well.
That's what I call him.
Final hour. Final hour coming up on KMOX.